This is The State of Things. I'm Frank Stachow from the American Tobacco Historic District. Everything is better with cheese on it. Just ask that clay-made British dog owner, Wallace, and he'll tell you he loves cheese.
I'm just crackers about cheese.
See, I told you. You can fade that down now. Go ahead. Fade it down. There we go. Take it out. Well, you could also ask thousands of people gathered in Raleigh this week for the 29th Annual Conference of the American Cheese Society. Fromage lovers have descended on our capital city for activities including a keynote address by author Temple Grandin, tastings, tours of local cheesemaking facilities, discussions of cheese safety, which we'll find out more about, and the administering of an exam to become a certified cheese professional. Max McCallman is considered America's foremost cheese expert. His new book is called Mastering Cheese. He's in town to enjoy the convention, to judge some cheeses, and to spread the gospel of cheese, and joins me now in the studio. Max McCallman, welcome.
Thanks,
to the State
Frank.
Of Things.
It's great to be here.
What does it mean to be a cheese professional? What is that?
Well, what I do is I eat cheese and I write about it and I speak about it. And then I judge in competitions. I select cheeses for... help select cheese for a company, and I offer courses on cheese. These are cheese courses that are for people that are considering a career change, frustrated lawyers that want to find some happiness in life, and and cheese does provide happiness. It does have that happy gene.
Did you grow up loving cheeses? I mean, when did you get into this business?
One of my earliest childhood memories was sitting on my mother's kitchen counter, and I had a cold, and she didn't want me to touch the cheese on the counter because she thought I would infect the cheese. And as I've come to believe in recent studies, that it was probably precisely the nutrition that I needed at the time to help me get over the cold. I haven't had a cold in years, by the way.
So there's a correlation there that we'll have to investigate for sure. What about it, though? I mean, there is this sense that cheese is not very good for you. I have a lot of fat content. Maybe we ought to stay away from it.
Yeah, that really gets my goat, so to speak. I think that people are beginning to recognize that fat is not itself the problem. And without the fat, we not only miss out on some of those gustatory thrills that foods can provide, but at the same time, we miss out on some beneficial nutrients that come in through fats. As far as if it's an obesity question, as I like to say, our bodies have grand designs for the foods that we consume, fats included. And fat that you take into your mouth doesn't necessarily end up automatically around your waistline. The French women don't get fat, and they eat quite a lot of fat. I eat a lot of fat. I eat cheese like there's no tomorrow. I was cheese starved growing up, and so I've been trying to make up for it ever since. So I do eat a lot of cheese, and I'm actually very slim and in pretty good health. Of course, genetics has something to do with it, but the cheese does not seem to be hurting.
So this is the American Cheese Society, and there was a time when you would say American cheese, and that didn't really excite many cheese lovers, but things have changed in this country.
Changed dramatically, and there is a growing per capita consumption in this country. There is a tripling of per capita consumption in the past three decades, and along with that, there is a growing connoisseurship in this country. A growing appreciation for cheese, exposure to fine cheese from Europe. And we're a fairly well-traveled country, so we have been to Europe, many of us, and so we taste those fine cheese over there. And so, but the recent improvements in cheese making here are great to see. This is where the excitement is in the cheese world. This is where it's occurring right now, is within our shores and all across the country. There is an artisan cheesemaker in every state in the Union, including Alaska. So it is a growing movement, and we are the biggest cheese producers in the world, and our quality is definitely reaching world-class standards.
Have you been able to sample any of the local cheeses here in North Carolina?
Yes, some, and I've had some sent to me in New York, where I'm based, because I was coming down here, and I wanted to know some of these cheeses better, which had been recommended to me. The Southeast or the Atlantic Seaboard has a history of daring, but it has not been, as you say, point out, it's maybe it hasn't been that exciting. But now, with partly through the efforts of the American Cheese Society, now that people are we do have these annual conferences, and so we have experts, not only American dairy scientists, but experts and cheesemakers from Europe. And then the group gets to taste other cheeses, and they become exposed to them. They say, yeah, I think I could do that. And so they practice and experiment and work with dairy scientists. And it's not as romantic as people think. It's not just you own a cow and you milk it and put it in a vat and out pops cheese. And so they're learning how to make some phenomenal cheese.
You talked about the explosion in cheese consumption here. American Cheese Society, you say, may have something to do with it. But what else? Because, again, it's not only the amount of cheese that's being eaten, but the varieties now that we're seeing available to us.
Well, I think that slowly but surely, and thanks in part to NPR, I think that people are beginning to think about the foods that they eat a little bit better. And because when you walk into most grocery stores, I think few people realize that there in every food that's in that grocery store, or even at a farmer's market for that matter, there are some things in there that we think may not be there, and it may or may not be 100% organic, no matter what the claim is. But I think becoming recognizing that there is a diversity of foodstuffs that we need to preserve, we need to celebrate and enjoy, is very important. I think that the cheese popularity, its rise, coincides partly with the rise in popularity of wines. 3 decades ago, we learned the difference between a Pinot Noir and a Cabernet. And I think that's we're exploring new foodstuffs. And we do have an agricultural heritage, not just in North Carolina, but across the United States. And 100 years ago, more than 98% of the people in the United States had some farming in them. They were farmers. And today it's less than 1%. But fortunately, farmers' markets are helping too.
So you brought a couple of cheeses with you. And this one in front of me, tell me about this one.
That's a pressed cow's milk cheese. It's from western Spain. And it's a kind of like an Italian tome style of cheese. The conference is about American cheeses, but I just thought I should bring some cheese. And I happened to see one of my friends, Michelle Buster, was presenting some of her lovely European cheeses. And so this is another thing that's that I think helps American cheesemakers and cheesemongers here is to see have this opportunity to taste what's being produced overseas, not just Europe, but around the world, even Japan. So that is a it's a fairly mellow cheese.
Mm-hmm.
It's
distinctive. Give it a try.
Mm-hmm. Yep, and it is made with unpasteurized milk, and so it's it has a long finish to it. Nice mouthfeel.
Yeah, a little salty, a little on the
salty.
Side. Yeah,
right. And so a little bit acid.
And this is a cow's milk cheese.
Cow's milk.
And what's the one I have here? And this
that is a goat's milk cheese, and that's from southern Spain. And that one is pasteurized, but it still has a lovely flavor to it. It's a little bit acid, typical of goat's milk cheeses. A little tart, cream.
Now, that's the interesting thing to me is that you can really tell the difference between a cow's milk and a goat's milk cheese. But then when you think about all the varieties you can make, for instance, you can go down here, a lovely cheese shop in Durham, the Reliable Cheese Company, and I get water buffalo cheese. Mm-hmm. And then when I tell people about it, they go, oh, water buffalo. Well, you know, it's a ruminant, right? I mean, it's a bovine.
Right.
It's going to taste just like any other cow's milk, and it more or less does.
Mm-hmm.
But is there a limit? I mean, you know, all mammals produce milk, but we won't be eating weasel cheese, will we?
That lacks the coagulable proteins, and so that's a problem with the weasel milk. We won't be seeing weasel milk anytime soon.
Okay.
Not to mention that their production levels would make it a less viable enterprise.
We get a lot of weasels. You need a lot of them.
You need a lot of weasels. Yeah.
But what is it? I mean, is it in the milk so much, or certainly it's the processing, and now we see you're adding all kinds of stuff, especially in the softer goat cheeses. You'll see figs and chives and all that sort of thing.
There are things that are added to cheeses, but it comes down to the milk ultimately. And so the difference between the major dairy animals, cow, goat, and sheep, composition of fatty acids, short-chain fatty acids, help to deliver those different aromas and different flavors. Especially, and so that is part of it. The proteins do break down through proteolysis; they break down, and they yield some aldehydes and ketones and alcohols, and so we get different flavors and aromas from different, not only different species but different breeds too. Hmm. And of course, partly dependent on what they're eating. So this is the notion of terroir: what they're eating does contribute to the flavor. And this is a word, of course, that does not have an exact translation into English because it means so many different things, terroir. But I think that it's being accepted into the English language gradually, like sommelier, and now like fromager. And so people know what a fromager is now.
I don't know what a fromager is.
Oh, come on, Frank. Of course you do.
Well, what's a sommelier, by the way? Give me both of them. You've only got about 20 seconds. I need two definitions. Right,
sommelier is the wine expert. Fromager is the cheese expert. Well, actually, technically, it's the cheese maker or the cheese retailer.
Awesome.
Or it could be a cheese expert.
Hey, what do you think about low-fat cheese?
Oh, there's no need for that. No. We need to have as much fat as possible.
Yeah.
The more fat we have, the more satisfied we will be.
So what's your favorite cheese?
I like sheep's milk cheeses as a family. I like the Alpine cow's milk cheeses quite a lot. And there's a lot of Scott in me, and when I'm purchasing cheese, I like to give my nutritive value for my cheese dollar. And I derive quite a bit of it, including antioxidants, cancer-fighting properties, and weight-reducing properties, diabetes-preventing qualities in these cheeses in high concentration. All those nutrients are available pretty much in all cheeses, but especially high concentration in pressed Alpine types, especially unpasteurized, and sheep's milk cheeses, especially unpasteurized.
Max, thanks so much.
Thanks, Frank.
Enjoy your stay here in North Carolina. Max Bekalman is the author of Mastering Cheese, and you can find out more about his books and his appearances at his website, artisanalcheese.com. And you're invited to the Raleigh Convention Center for the Festival of Cheese Saturday, August 4th at 7 o'clock to purchase tickets. You can get more information at cheesesociety.org/conference. Just ahead, even if you do have the time for crime, you may pay a hefty price and it may go beyond your sentence. Find out more on the State of Things from North Carolina Public Radio, the broadcast service of the University of North Carolina at Chapel Hill. Stay tuned.